Well, we'll see. We have about an hour to talk about some things about money, and I think we'll start off by going over some of the events that are coming up in Hunterdon County. I know you hear them from time to time on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, but it's always a good idea to rehash it because we believe everyone has an obligation to support the activities going on, the organizations here in Hunterdon County who are doing so much great work for those in need. And I know one of the things I'm looking at right here, we have two great annual Clinton traditions. And it's a few months down the road, but it's never too early to put things on your calendar. The first is Saturday, July 16th, and that would be the Sprint and Clinton race. Sunday, July 17th, the Rubber Ducky race, which kids absolutely love. It's a great day. I'm just hoping for good weather again. Go out there, select your duck, watch it go down the river, and see if you, too, could be a winner. But Clinton Sunrise Rotary has been putting this on for some years now. In fact, 2015 marks their 27th anniversary. So congratulations, Sunrise Rotary, and I'll tell you, those folks do fabulous work here in the county. Jeannie, you have a couple of events over there.
I do. So these are coming up sooner than that. next month, I mean, it's almost April already, but on April 19th, that's a Tuesday, the Women's Leadership Summit of the Hunterdon Chamber is holding their 7th annual summit at the Ryland Inn. It will be from 8 to 2, so
love
it's most
Ryland
of the day. And it's, you know, a women's leadership summit, but men are invited too.
Well, thank you.
So the first speaker will be Ann Thornton from MSI Plumbing and Heating, and she will be talking about 10 reasons to connect like crazy. Attendees will have the opportunity to attend two breakout sessions, and you get to choose which breakouts you want to attend.
We are talking about networking, are we not?
Yes, networking.
Okay, just wanted to be clear about that.
Yes. And our keynote speaker will be Michelle Sikirka, Esquire. She became the 11th president of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association in October 2014. And her keynote address will discuss the unique philosophy of open communications and a positive attitude leading to professional and organizational success. The breakouts, the choices, are Power of Presence, Philanthropy on a Budget, Make Your Message Matter, and How to Create a Business Network. So, yeah, very, very interesting and informative sessions. Last year, I mean, everybody was wonderful. The keynote speaker, the opening speaker, and the breakouts that I chose, just really impactful and good, great, great information. So that is coming up in just a couple weeks. What is that, 3 weeks away, right, the 19th? April 19th?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so Ryland Inn, a Tuesday. So you can register by calling the chamber office, 908-782-7115, or going on the HunterdonChamber.org website and choosing the Women's Leadership Summit and register that way.
Good to know.
Yeah. The other event that's coming up for the Red Shoe, this is BW Nice, so I am part of that. I do attend those meetings, BW Nice Businesswomen Networking, and they have a they support Safe in Hunterdon, so that's for abuse, women's abuse, and they house children. So they have a Red Shoe. This is like their biggest fundraiser of the year, and that too is a really, really nice luncheon at Hunterdon Hills Playhouse on Route 173 in Hampton. And that is Friday, June 3rd, 11 o'clock to 2. There are vendor tables. You can walk around. You can support local businesses. They will have a silent auction. That, too, a ton of things that you can bid on and potentially win. And there's always a couple speakers. There'll be a Businesswoman of the Year. Somebody from Safe will talk about their success story. And there's models that Michelle will be a model.
Yes, so, Michelle Heidi will be a model.
Yeah,
she's
so,
done this now. That'll be her third consecutive year?
I think so.
And
yeah.
Hopefully they don't have her modeling wedding dresses again.
Right, last year was wedding dresses, but...
She is married.
Yes.
Yeah. I know Dean listens sometimes, so I just want to get that one in, Dean.
They are certainly looking for sponsors, either sponsors to promote your business at this event. And I don't know the exact number, but there's hundreds of people that go.
Oh, it's a fabulous event. They pack the facility.
Absolutely. That's what I'm thinking. It's like 200, 250 people.
A little bit early. If for no other reason, the fashion show is great. And of course, the awards and the different businesses that are represented there. But I go for the food. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but there is just so many food vendors in that one room, and the food is so good. Mm-hmm. So, anybody?
So if you have a business, you want to set up a table, you want to have a vendor table, if you have an auction item that you want to raffle off, again, promoting your business. And again, there's a lot of those. So the opportunity to win, it's just a really, really nice event for a very good cause.
Yes, it is.
So Friday, June 3rd, 11 to 2. And you can go on BW Nice website to sign up to go, to sponsor, or to set up a vendor table. Yep. So those are two wonderful events coming up very soon.
Yeah, and I know there's so many other events going on that we haven't mentioned. So, we'll just have to see how that works out. But I hope to see everybody there. Of course, if everybody showed up, we couldn't get everybody in. But if you go early enough, maybe you could.
There you go.
So, hope to see you.
Yeah, that parking lot gets really packed there at the Playhouse. Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then you do get some exercise if you get there a little bit later.
There you go. Good walk.
Good walk. Absolutely true.
Hope for a nice day and a good fresh air to take a walk in outside.
Well, let's see. What could we talk about? Oh, yes, this is Something's About Money. And, this is Joe Patton with Jeannie Aversa. Jeannie is a certified retirement specialist. I'm a certified financial planner. We mentioned that because credentials do matter. And we're located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale, New Jersey. If you would like to take advantage of a complimentary consultation. And what is that? It is a conversation between people to talk about things that are important to you. And we would take some time to go through those things in detail. You would actually drive the conversation. And at the end of the meeting, you would determine, we would determine, if it would make sense for us to work together. And if it is, we would talk about what that would entail going forward. And if it isn't, you would get some great information, focusing specifically on your needs, shake hands, and we would see you, hopefully, at one of these nonprofit events. Mm. So we do a lot of that, educating the community, because after all, if you really don't know what you need to be doing, how could you make an informed decision about doing anything? So that's what we do. Anyway, Jeannie, let's talk about the markets. The markets, let's see, what are the markets doing right now? Last time I looked, they were not in the proper color. Actually, they are red. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is currently at 17,493. That's down almost 42 points. The S&P is at 2,033, down about 4 points. The NASDAQ is green at 4,775, up just over 8 points. Over in Europe, we're looking at the FTSE. Of the three being red, they're down 16 points. The DAX down 21, that's 0.2%. The CAC 40 down about 30 points, just under 0.7%. Oil, which really has been giving the direction to the market of late, oil again is down $1.32 a barrel to $38.07 a barrel. Gold up $6 an ounce to $1,226.10 an ounce. And the 10-year Treasury yield is down this morning to 1.8561%. So that is our market update. Let's see. Other updates, we had Case-Shiller numbers come out as far as home prices. And home prices, well, we've had some appreciation in major U.S. metropolitan areas in the first month of the year, and that kept pace with recent gains. S&P Dow Jones indices reported today. The S&P Case-Shiller 20-City Composite Index rose 5.7% in January from the previous year, roughly in line with expectations. Home prices continue to climb at more than twice the rate of inflation, and that was according to David M. Blitzer, Managing Director and Chairman of the index committee at S&P Dow Jones Indices. Now, according to Blisser, the low inventory for homes for sale, currently about a five-month supply, means that would-be sellers seeking to trade up are having a hard time finding a new, larger home. So it's all about supply and demand. Right now, we don't have a big supply, and we have a demand that is outpacing it. And usually when that happens, what happens to prices, Ginny?
They go up.
They go up. In fact, they're going up to a point where it's becoming more difficult for people to afford these homes because, quite frankly, wages have not kept pace with the prices of housing. So, on the one hand, I could hear owners now, this is great. Housing prices are going higher. Well, it's not great if we don't have the supply of buyers necessary to be able to pay your price for your house. So keep that in mind. We have to have this nice, even balance where both go up at the same time. And that hasn't happened for a while now.
Well, the other thing I had read about the other day is that sellers are hesitant to put their house on the market because there's not enough inventory for them to buy something good.
Very true.
So hence that kind of creates that another, like Murphy's Law, like now here's people who are interested in selling, but those houses are not on the market because there's nothing for them to buy, and it just precipitates this whole situation of low inventory.
And folks, this is just a taste of what you will be hearing later on today as Jeannie spends some time with Joe Peters. And what time is that going to be?
4 o'clock.
So you and Joe are planning on talking about what?
Well, he has two shows a month that focus on the 55-plus age group. And because that's really my target group as a retirement specialist, I'll be talking about all those things that people should start thinking about as they're preparing for their lives 55 plus. Like once they hit that age, what should they be doing and thinking about and planning for?
Hopefully getting educated as far as what things they should be doing to be ready for retirement. Mm-hmm. Because as we know, and you know better than most because that's your specialty, most Americans have done, well, let's just say a not-so-good job at putting money away for their retirement for a variety of very good reasons. We call them the whys. It's because of my children. I have to educate them. I have to send them to $60,000 a year college so they can be grammar school teachers and have the college experience. Or, they're buying the cars or the vacation homes or just going out to dinner about 7 days a week and spending an awful lot of money on their lifestyle. And they just never get around to putting that extra 5% in the 401k or taking out the IRA or just putting some non-qualified investments aside that they can draw from later on as they are in retirement. Sort of having some tax control between the tax-free, the tax-deferred, and the taxable. So things that we talk about when we have those complimentary consultations.
Well, I think it's also the same as when you have children and all of a sudden they become juniors in high school and you're like, oh, crap, I don't have enough money saved for them to go to college. I didn't do enough in the past. I think 55 is that age when you start realizing retirement is fast approaching. I haven't done enough. And, oh, my gosh, what do I do now?
Well, hopefully by the time you're 55, they're well out of school and on their own. But that really doesn't happen for everyone now, does it?
No.
So
many people waited longer to have children that their children are – could still be in high school at 55.
That's true.
Or earlier.
Yeah. Well,
could happen. It's possible.
And then they look forward to having them live in the basement? Is that it? So, hopefully not. But because if you do that, there is a very good chance that you will become one of the 17%. And I think what we're going to do is take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you about that 17%, and hopefully you never become one of them.
At Jersey Mike's, we think making a great sub sandwich and making a difference can be one and the same. Visit Jersey Mike's on Wednesday, March 30th. 100% of sales go toward helping a charity right in your own backyard.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterton County, New Jersey.
And we're back. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton Heidi and Associates. With me, Jeannie Aversa, Certified Retirement Planning Expert at Patton Heidi and Associates. And I was talking, Jeannie, about not wanting to be part of the 17%. And what is that? Well, 17% of elderly Americans have been financially abused.
Well, that's
now,
sad.
I guess the good news is that it's down 3 percentage points from 6 years ago, and that's according to Investor Protection Trust, which considers it evidence that such abuse might be curbed with the help of medical professionals. Now, the older Americans, all over 65, had been victims of fraud, placed in inappropriate investments, or charged unreasonably high fees for financial services, and that's according to a survey of 3,672 adults conducted over 4 days earlier this month by Public Policy Polling for the Investor Protection Trust. Investor Protection Trust found a similar survey in 2010 that 20% of seniors reported financial abuse. Now, its efforts since then to involve doctors in spotting signs of cognitive impairment that can lead to elder exploitation may be paying off. Now, working together, clinicians and investor educators are starting to make a real difference, according to Robert Rausch, a professor of geriatrics at Baylor College of Medicine. And he said that in a recent statement. The survey found that 21% of people with elderly parents reported they've talked to their healthcare providers about how they handle money, up from just 5% in 2010. So it's good that people are paying closer attention to that, because medical providers are right at the front line of being able to determine what the abilities of seniors are at this stage of their life and whether or not they could be subject to abuse either from people from the outside or even their own family members. Yeah. That, from our experience, is something that happens all too often. And we have mechanisms in place to deal with that. So, it's one of the benefits of working with people who are in our profession, who really have been working in a fiduciary capacity for some time. We owe that to our clients, and we take very good care, and we actually spend a lot of time assessing whether or not they have people who they empower, who they've asked that we send copies of documents to, or who they bring into meetings, and usually that's at our insistence, to make sure that those folks are doing the right thing for that client, and who, you know, over the years have obviously become more to us than just clients. We have people who have been working with us for, you know, well over 30 years. So, it's something that we have and hold near and dear to our hearts. So, I'm doing a lot of talking over here.
You are. You're doing a good job, Joe.
I know. It's what I do best. And as tired as I am,
yes,
I'm gonna
ask,
what do you have on that side of the table?
Okay. So what should I talk about?
Any number of things. Probably retirement, investments, or...
Okay. Yeah.
Or so both.
So I have a couple things that I have. So... This is also near and dear to your heart, Joe. I'm sure you've dealt with a lot of people along the way, It's so difficult when it comes to investing money and making decisions. You know, one time or another, most of us have likely succumbed to a common yet financially fatal bias that engages our emotions and causes us to act on our fears. For example, have you ever sold a stock investment after a market decline, only to realize that it was near a bottom and rebounded soon thereafter? So there's an example of 2008, 2009, people who panicked, saw their portfolio go down and got out of the market, put it in cash, and never stayed in to be able to recoup, you know, to have the market rebound, as bad as that was, right? So what a shame that is, to have lost all that potential for gain after the market, right?
Now, to be fair, if they sold out of that position and moved into a different investment position, you would do that with the belief that you're giving yourself a better chance to recover. But in this case, you're talking about folks who cashed out and stayed in cash.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's interesting to watch how an investor's risk tolerance changes based on market conditions. So basically, it's found in studies that as stocks rise, people are generally willing to assume more risk. And when stocks are declining, they're more risk averse. This is only natural given our proclivity to become greedy when financial markets are doing well and fearful when they're not. Another observation involves the investor who invests in a security which declines after it was purchased. So here's an example. So investor Bob purchases security A for $20. Shortly thereafter, the price falls to $15. Bob has lost 25% of the value of his original investment. Bob may decide to hold the security until it gets back to even before selling it. Why is that? Because selling at a loss is tantamount to admitting he has made a poor decision. Moreover, he still believes in his decision to buy that investment, that it was sound. However, when the price rises back to the initial price of $20, he's likely to hold on to it because the increase supports his original decision to purchase it. No one wants to be wrong. So Bob holds his security, it hits $20 again, and then it rises to $25. At this point, Bob is feeling really good about his decision and will likely continue to hold it. His decision has been validated. In fact, Bob may be inclined to invest even more because it has rewarded him so well, and he's probably wishing that he had bought more to begin with. Finally, after a while, the market corrects. Bob's investment falls back to the $15 per share, and he's had enough. He wants out. This is an all too familiar scenario. It's one reason retail investors often underperform the broader market. Fear and greed, two of the strongest emotions, help explain why investors buy high and sell low rather than the reverse. So, isn't that an interesting phenomenon, right? You're always saying, it's a sale, the markets are down, buy more now. But fear and greed are really the two big reasons why people make poor financial decisions and why a financial advisor can help them see the big picture and not sell when it's low, or not be too greedy when the market has gone up, right? Don't you explain these things to clients?
Well, absolutely. And I mean, certainly you're not going to be financially well if you continue to have a policy of, you know, buying high and selling low. That doesn't make any sense at all. But as I said, you know, making a transition from low in one thing to buying low into something else after you've sold low may not be the worst thing in the world if you've been very prudent and thoughtful about it, making sure that it's within, you know, your objective, your plan, your tax situation. You may be able to capture some tax losses to use in that current tax year and reposition those assets into a sector that is also low, that maybe has more upside potential. So it's a win-win. But you really have to do your homework on that. It isn't readily apparent to the average novice investor. So I mentioned financially well, Jeannie. You know, one of the most important financial journeys we can take is the path to financial wellness. Building financial security and independence, while certainly important, makes up only one slice of the whole financial wellness pie. Now, financial wellness also incorporates the ways that wealth and income affect our emotional and physical well-being. How many times do you run into people that are just sick that their stock price is down? I don't think that's what you want to do. The journey to financial wellness is far different than the path to becoming rich. Achieving it cannot be done in a vacuum. It requires developing a degree of emotional and physical wellness as well. Searching for one inherently, well, let's say, will expand to the search for all three. I doubt that the journey has ever been a final destination, and it's one that relatively few people choose to make. If you are considering a journey to financial wellness, here are a few thoughts. Number one, remember it's a journey. It doesn't work to follow the path to financial wellness because a spouse, a parent, friend, or even a financial planner recommends it. If your motivation is a should or an ought, you might as well save yourself a lot of frustration and pain by stopping before the journey even starts. Don't attempt to guilt, shame, or manipulate anyone else to come along with you on the journey. We can't find financial wellness for anyone else but ourselves. We certainly can join with others for mutual support and learning along the way, but all of those on the path need to be there for themselves, regardless of whether others are on it. Three, be prepared for the naysayers. Not everyone in your life is going to support your quest for financial wellness. Many will try to convince you to stop before you start or to turn back once you've begun. Often, the closer a person is to you, the more dependent they are on your financial choices, the more threatening your journey may be to them, the more they will resist you changing. Lower your expectations of how quickly your attitudes and behaviors around money and finances will change. Chances are it has taken you a lifetime to get where you are with your relationship with money. Unlike the journey that Ebenezer Scrooge took to financial wellness, your relationship won't be miraculously transformed overnight. In the early stages of your journey, resist the urge to substitute getting more practical and logical information about money and finances instead of looking at the emotions and the feelings you have around money. Most of the journey to financial wellness is not about the money. It's about the thoughts, the beliefs, and emotions you have about money and wealth. Find one or more trusted guides to help you along the journey. Seek out those who are traveling the path ahead of you and who appear to practice at least some of the financial wellness you want. Learn from their missteps. Benefit from their experience and wisdom. Also, open yourself up to new awareness and knowledge. Be prepared to go and let go of your most deeply held truths about money. The more stubbornly we cling to strong beliefs about how systems work or people function around money, the more likely that those beliefs are not serving us well. And lastly, be gentle with yourself when you get off the main path and need to retrace your steps. Everyone on the journey to financial wellness takes wrong turns. Mistakes and dead ends are inevitable and are not failures. They are opportunities to learn, to make course corrections, and to continue on your journey. And, you know, those questions and answers were from Rick Kaler, actually. Interesting. Saw that on Advice IQ. Mm. And all very true.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think we hold some strong opinions about money, and I think the way we were raised.
Yeah, people are, it's all about the numbers. It's all about the performance, and that is important. But how disciplined you're going to be on your path requires more of an understanding, mm-hmm. and a more holistic approach to the decisions that you make about financial planning and financial success in general. It can't just be about the dollar sign. Because you'll get very frustrated mm-hmm. quickly mm-hmm. and stop and do something bad. Kind of like I'm going to sell low and buy high.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Never a good idea. So I think we're going to head to the bottom of the hour break. And when we come back, we'll do an update and talk a little bit more about some things about money.
USA Radio News with John DeMester.
The suspect in the hijacking of that Egypt Air flight has been arrested. Former FBI hostage negotiator Mary Ellen O'Toole on Fox News saying the suspect may have been becoming increasingly more impulsive toward the end of the incident.
Well, you have someone that's so in such a highly emotional situation and they're changing their plans, they can become even more dangerous, but particularly to themselves. So it really was good that he surrendered because he was really at high risk for suicide at that point.
Authorities in Cyprus detaining the man who claimed he had a suicide vest and had the plane diverted. The plane headed from Alexandria to Cairo when the hijacker took over. When it landed, dozens were allowed to exit, and as the hours passed, more people left the plane. The president of Cyprus saying the situation not related to terrorism, saying it was all to do with a woman. The suspect reportedly had an ex-wife that lives in Cyprus, and he wanted to see her. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphreys, host of Trending Today USA, where we feature the biggest and the best and the brightest trending stories in the world. One of the places I go first every single day is WesternJournalism.com. Chris Agee's here. He's the managing editor of WesternJournalism.com. What makes WesternJournalism.com so special?
Well, Rusty, I think it is very special. We bring you the news as it actually happens. We're one of the places that you can come for the facts, and they're backed up by what's actually happening out there.
You know, a lot of websites, they deal in rumor and innuendo. You guys are really dealing in journalism, is that right?
Right? Oh, absolutely. And there's no question that we're going to bring you pro-American news. I mean, we're going to bring you stuff that makes you proud of the freedoms that we have. And we back up the Constitution every step of the way, but that doesn't influence our reporting. Our reporting is the truth, is 100% accurate.
Make sure you check it out. One of the best websites in the world, WesternJournalism.com. That's WesternJournalism.com.
Okay, and today's weather in Flemington, New Jersey, it is windy feeling. And it will be today. It is currently 48 degrees with fair skies. It'll be a sunny day, high near 53. Tonight will be clear, 28. Tomorrow, Wednesday, will be sunny, high near 56 with calmer winds. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low of 38. Thursday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m., partly sunny, high near 68. Thursday night, showers likely with thunderstorms possible after 2 a.m., low of 57. Friday, showers likely, possible thunderstorm, mostly cloudy, high near 68. Friday night, mostly cloudy, 42. Saturday, partly sunny, high near 57. Saturday night, partly cloudy, low of 33. Sunday, mostly sunny, high near 47. Sunday night, partly cloudy, low of 26. Monday, mostly sunny, high near 46. And that's the weather, Joe. So Friday looks like a rainy day.
I don't want to hear that because it's leading up to the weekend, which I so look forward to.
I know.
But what are you going to do?
It'll be a nice weekend.
It is spring. Actually, it's about spring. So we
should. Well, it's theoretically spring after March 21st, right?
Yeah.
And the
can I start wearing white shoes?
Yes, you can wear white shoes.
Okay. Just checking.
Because things are starting to bloom. Magnolias are blooming. Looks nice.
Very pretty. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not pretty. The color red for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. We're still down almost 38 points to 17,497. The S&P is down 2.5. The NASDAQ is up 17.25. So, yay, NASDAQ. And over across the pond, Europe, well, they ended up mostly up despite an oil slump. The FTSE, however, was down 0.2%. The DAX up about 0.2. The CAC 40 up about 0.6. And oil prices are still down, $1.37 a barrel to $38.02. Gold is up $6.40 an ounce to $12.2650. And the 10-year Treasury is looking at the yield down to 1.8508%. So that's our market update. What else are we talking about, Janie? We have more retirement and investment stuff, do we not?
We do, yep. So this is just a quick one, but I just saw it, retirees' biggest budget busters. So, excuse me. So one thing that I think people don't actually think about is the rising costs of everything.
Including their deductibles and copays on their health care.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're looking at whatever amount you've accumulated for retirement, you're looking at that as a whole number in today's value, today's dollar. But that doesn't mean if you're going to live for 20 or 30 years that you could buy as much 20 or 30 years from now with that same money. And so I just thought it was interesting. It was like the top 10 things that increased from 2015 to 2016. So very recent, just in the past year. And some of the increases are pretty substantial. So if you think about being on a fixed income in retirement, chances are your pension will be fixed. Social Security goes up with the cost of living, but it hasn't gone up like it didn't go up last year. And then you're taking money out of your investment portfolio. So so these are the top 10 items that went up in the past year, 2015 to 2016. Medicare Part B, the doctor's coverage, increased 16%. Prescription drugs increased 10.4%. Tomatoes increased 8.1%. Eggs went up 6.8%. Car insurance went up 5.4%. Homeowners insurance went up 4.6%. Hospital services went up 4.6%. Veterinary services, so again, 4.1%. Housing went up 3.7%. And doctor's bills went up 2.3%. So that's in 1 year. So just saying, something to think about as you're planning for that long life.
Now, the first one that you talked about was which?
Medicare Part B.
And that was going, that went up by how much?
16%.
Wow.
So that was.
So that means every 4.5 years, if that were to be the number year in and year out, that would double.
Well, it wouldn't do that.
It
wouldn't do that. But and just saying, like, you have to remember things can change.
And I mean it's very true, because you take a look at the average of all of those increases. If it were 6%, that means every 12 years your cost of living doubles. And if you're living for another 25-30 years in retirement, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of increase for your cost of living.
Yeah.
And as we noted, so many of the things that are healthcare related are going up faster than the inflation rate. So there's a lot of need out there for retirement savings, well and above what people are currently doing. You can't wait until 55 to start saving.
Right, exactly.
It just doesn't work.
So that's what, I think that's the important message that we give, and hopefully we reach out to enough people.
Yeah, I know. We're hitting you over the head with that show after show, but we do it because it's so important.
It's so important.
We have over $19 trillion in national debt. We have, you know, a healthcare system that has increased copays and deductibles to enormous rates, to the point where people can't afford to use their insurance, even if they could afford to own it. And, you know, so many other things that we rely on. The savings rate has been virtually zero for people who were using the banking system for traditional methods of saving for retirement. And if the stock market, well, isn't expected to do much more than, say, a 5 to 7% rate of return over the next 5 years, according to many analysts. And that's really based upon U.S. GDP expectations as well as global. You're going to be hard-pressed to cover those cost increases out of savings and investments unless you're willing to take an exorbitant amount of risk. And what retiree needs to do that?
Right.
So, you know, we don't have the ability to choose when we get to retire. Maybe if we're self-employed, we can stretch out our employment for a few more years. But, I mean, are companies really looking to keep older employees who have become incredibly expensive? If one of the reasons, because of the benefits they have to pay them on the insurance, on the vacation, on everything else, for those who are fortunate enough to have defined benefit retirement plans. You know, as you get older, the company obligation to put money into your retirement plan increases.
Right.
So no small wonder that people are still being let go at a younger age. So how do you manage with that? Well, you better talk to Jeannie.
Right. So basically we've been talking about how important it is to be conscientious of what you're doing for your retirement savings and to beef that up. Yet a poll shows that people, when asked about their goals, weight loss and travel beat out saving for retirement. Really? So basically, yeah, there are.
Well, how are you going to eat a balanced diet unless you have the money to afford it? Because you can't be like carbo loading and expect to be slim and trim.
There you go. That's right. So many Americans, their confidence undermined by a challenging investment environment, are putting other goals ahead of saving for retirement, according to a new poll released by Capital One Investing. The study measured current sentiment and behaviors related to investing and retirement of 1,005 American adults interviewed by phone in mid-January. This survey showed that 75% of working respondents were contributing a portion of their income to retirement, down from 80% who responded a year ago. 64% of working respondents and 61% of millennials said they were confident they were investing enough to live comfortably throughout retirement versus 72% last year, but a quarter of workers and 29% of millennials said that they were investing only 5% or less of their income. 39% of working respondents thought they should be saving more than 15% of their income, but only 15% actually said they were doing so. The survey also found that 39% of working respondents made financial decisions with their spouse or significant other, down from 47% in 2014. And only 19% of non-retirees said that they discussed retirement planning monthly or more often. So, priorities. The survey found that many investors were putting other goals ahead of adding to their retirement savings in 2016. Indeed, only 16% of respondents said increasing their retirement savings was their top priority for the year. Instead, 27% cited travel to a new destination as their top goal, and 23% said that most hoped to lose weight. Among millennials, only 11% said growing their retirement nest egg was their top goal, compared with 31% who were prioritizing travel and 22% who were setting their sights on buying a house. Baby boomers in the survey were most likely to prioritize retirement savings, but is it a little too late for that? I mean, anything you do is better than nothing, but these younger people should definitely be thinking of it as well. So, roadblocks. 42% of respondents complained about industry jargon, saying it kept them from investing with confidence, and 41% blamed a lack of price transparency for their lack of confidence. 60% of millennials in the poll said lack of investing knowledge or experience undermined their confidence, compared with 47% of their Gen X and 46% of baby boomer counterparts. 56% of female respondents reported that they felt less confident because of a lack of investing knowledge or experience, and 42% because of the complexity of investing. The current environment is tough for many investors, with market volatility, uncertainty about the economy, and their ongoing challenges and concerns continuing to impede confidence and willingness to invest for the future. Three-quarters of those polled thought saving for retirement was more challenging than it was for their grandparents. 85% of millennials had this feeling, as did 72% of Gen Xers and 73% of boomers. Two-thirds of those who agreed and 69% of women thought investing today was more complex and confusing than in earlier periods and fretted that they could not fall back on Social Security. More than half said such things as higher costs of investment advice and the lack of pension plans added to these challenges. In addition, 83% of respondents thought that all companies, regardless of size, should be required to offer their employees retirement savings plans. A majority of respondents valued human advice and interactions, and 52% said they used a financial advisor. And when market fluctuations occur, three-quarters of investors said that they would prefer to receive advice from a financial advisor, either in person or by phone or mail. So,
well, of course.
Right? Isn't that, yeah. So people do want advice, personal advice, when it comes to volatility. And it definitely sounds like people are concerned about the complexity of investing and could use a person to give them that advice.
A trusted and knowledgeable advisor. And that's one of the things that the Department of Labor fiduciary standards trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was reading in investment news that the FINRA ruling that was forcing advisors who were changing from one broker dealer to another, that was picked up by the SEC, and now those advisors are going to have to provide their clients educational information as it relates to the compensation or any financial arrangements between the advisor and the new company that would have incented them to leave.
Mm.
So in the past, You know, advisors didn't have to provide their clients that they were trying to bring over to the new firm with that information. Why are you the old? Why did you leave your old company? You really didn't have to disclose. Now you do, and you know that is part of the new era that we live in, where we need to provide complete transparency as far as how we do our work, what the expectations should be, how we get compensated. And it's not just on the product or the services that the advisor provides. It's any other type of compensation that they receive in moving their business, or you know, bonuses or trips or anything like that that is the result of the products that they're using with their client base. So all good for the consumer. You know, I applaud those types of regulations, any regulation that creates more transparency between the public and the financial services industry can only be a good thing in my view. So I think we have about 15 more minutes to go. So before we continue on with our retirement investment theme, I think we need to take another break. You're listening to Some Things About Money with Joe Patton and Jeannie Aversa. And when we come back, we will tell you more.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, we're back again. You're listening to Some Things About Money. Beautiful day today. After you listen to us, you could listen to some more chamber radio, or you can get out and enjoy the sunshine and do some shopping in Hunterdon County, because we are big believers in supporting the county merchants. We're also big believers in the democratic process, and this is election campaign season. Unfortunately, this season is really taking twists and turns that are just unbelievable. I'm looking at this report that, well, let's just say the campaign manager for the Trump campaign, Corey Lewandowski, has been charged for intentionally grabbing and bruising the arm of Michelle Fields, a former reporter for the conservative news outlet Breitbart, against her will at the Trump campaign event on March 8th. Now, of course, you know, Mr. Trump says that Mr. Lewandowski is completely innocent of this charge, And he's going to enter a plea of not guilty and looks forward to his day in court. And Mr. Trump is completely confident that he will be exonerated. Now, for those progressives who are standing up and cheering that, you know, one of the members of the Trump campaign is getting his just desserts, over the weekend, in fact, wasn't it on Easter Sunday, Jeannie, that the news came out that there are now 147 FBI agents investigating the Clinton emails? Now, smoke, fire, I don't know. I'm just under the impression that the average American citizen typically wouldn't have 147 FBI agents investigating them for, oh, anything so meaningless as what they do with their emails. Because, as we've been told, there's just nothing there, nothing that was sent or received that was currently marked top secret, even though Secretary Clinton was supposedly trained and had signed off on her ability to discern what type of information should be kept confidential. You know, you don't take a red stamp on something top secret so the people who may be hacking your emails would know where to look.
Right, exactly.
But you're supposed to know that the content of what you're sending is not something that should be sent on a private through a private server. And maybe that has something to do with the 147 FBI agents' efforts at this point to determine exactly what was done. Personally, I kind of wonder why 147. Is there really that much to look at?
Right. That's a lot. A lot of manpower. Yeah.
So all of you progressives could sit down now. Anyway, are we betting?
No, we're not betting.
No, I know. Investors are betting. They're betting that volatility is going to rise. Now, according to the Morningstar data, VIX-based fund products have seen greater demand recently, with some volatility products experiencing a doubling of their asset bases in a few short weeks. Now, these short-term trading tools are bought by speculators betting that volatility, and that's generally measured by some VIX construct, will rise while broad-based market prices decline. Volatility has certainly been elevated at many times this year, and, well, we have commented on this dynamic repeatedly on the radio. The VIX touched 28 on February 11th but failed to breach levels reached during the August 15th market swoon. Since markets have rallied higher from their February lows, volatility has steadily declined, with the VIX index recently going below 15. Now, we believe placing too much emphasis on the future direction of equity markets based on these volatility products is likely a poor choice. These products can also be poor long-term tracking tools of volatility, potentially delivering results that may differ from investors' expectations. However, we mentioned the increase in interest in these trading tools because it helps illustrate an aspect of investor sentiment, one that places increasing doubt on the market's continued ability to rally. Divergent central bank policies are likely to keep investors on edge as we move through quarter number two, while corporate report cards get ready to come back into focus in mid-April. In our opinion, fundamental conditions could be the linchpin to helping propel stock prices higher from here, and investors could keep markets in a holding pattern as they wait for more relevant data. So right now, you know, you see so much stuff in the media about how, you know, gee, we bounce back to our previous cyclical high or whatever that is, and that we're due to drop down again, and Fed policy is going to bother us, and, you know, global events, that's going to drive the market down. We got to beware of high U.S. dollar valuations and the negative impact it's going to have on commodity prices, and the negative impact that's going to have on emerging markets, and then the negative impact that's going to have on European trading partners with emerging markets, and then the negative impact that's going to have on U.S. companies' ability to deal with, you know, trade in Europe, and on and on and on and on and on. And then the market goes higher.
There you go. Exactly, right?
So look at the fundamentals. Look at the companies. Look at their profitability. Technicals count, yes. But if you don't like the story of the company, if you need to be doing your homework, if you're not reading the annual reports, if you're not listening to the conference calls, if you're not looking at the sector that they're in for trends, if you're not doing what you need to be doing, don't play the game. Work with a trusted, knowledgeable advisor who has the skill to navigate you through this minefield to make sure that you're doing the right thing to help you successfully achieve your goals. Don't play games with this. Don't take a chance.
Okay. Good advice.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you have anything else to talk to us about, or do we go home early? Just kidding. What else is coming up these days? I just realized that, and even though I live in New Jersey, I put my head on a pillow in Pennsylvania at night.
Yeah.
And I guess with the Pennsylvania, I got my email notice whether or not I wanted to register to vote in this election because I am an independent. But with the primary coming up in Pennsylvania, I don't get to vote because you have to be a member of the club in order to have a say in who the candidate's going to be, who ultimately will have a chance at running the country and being the leader of the free world. So it makes all the sense to me to eliminate the possibilities of perhaps one-third of the population of the state of Pennsylvania from being able to have a say in this process. Or doesn't it? Maybe I'm missing something. Because, after all, party is more important than country, right? I hear people, I could hear them nodding their heads at the radio. Party is more important. Yeah. At least I've noticed here in Hunterdon County that there's a few people on the left side who keep pushing political agendas. They're taking national issues and events and they're bringing them down to the local level as if people in Flemington actually have a say in the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think all politics truly is local, and you have to focus on the individuals and what they do and not pretend that because a candidate from the other side of the political spectrum that you do not agree with is saying something. That doesn't mean that the person who lives in our towns, who are next-door neighbors, espouse the same philosophy and would do the same things. So stop the nonsense. Be specific. Treat people with respect and pay attention to who they actually are and what they've done. And trying to tie them to some national campaign is absurd. And if you don't see that, then you're absurd. But, again, politics before country. So with that said, Jeannie, we're winding it down.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Joe Patton and Jeannie Aversa from Patton, Heide & Associates. And this has been Some Things About Money. Again, want to remind you, it's a beautiful day. Get out there. Go shopping. Enjoy it. Take your kids out and buy them some lunch.
A lot of kids are off. That's right.
Yeah,
this week.
Take them to lunch on Main Street in Flemington or wherever it is that you live at this point. Spend some time with them. Get them away from the couch and their technology.
Yeah.
Because you know and I know it's not good for them. So, again, get out there, buy Hunterdon, buy often.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
The suspect in the hijacking of that Egypt Air flight has been arrested. Former FBI hostage negotiator Mary Ellen O'Toole on Fox News saying the suspect may have been becoming increasingly more impulsive toward the end of the incident.
When you have someone that's so in such a highly emotional situation and they're changing their plans, they can become even more dangerous, but particularly to themselves. So it really was good that he surrendered because he was really at high risk for suicide at that point.
Authorities in Cyprus detaining the man who claimed he had a suicide vest and had the plane diverted. The plane headed from Alexandria to Cairo when the hijacker took over. When it landed, dozens were allowed to exit, and as the hours passed, more people left the plane. The president of Cyprus saying the situation not related to terrorism, saying it was all to do with a woman. The suspect reportedly had an ex-wife that lives in Cyprus, and he wanted to see her. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Eric, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arnn on progressivism's appeal and danger.
Progressivism has been powerful for two kinds of reasons. First of all, its promise is a very high promise. It claims that it can put everything right. And the second thing is, it draws on modern science for a lot of its authority, and modern science is very powerful. Modern science cured polio. Modern science put a man on the moon. The question is, what do you do with the power? If you give absolute power or excessive power to a bunch of people, over time, they're very likely to abuse it. Remember, the richest country in the history of man in peacetime has assembled a debt larger than any in history. And it is getting to the place now where it's not going to be able to afford to go on.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter and Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert McDonald